Well, from Shall We Gather at the River to the sermon, then back to Shall We Gather at the River, because it's like you could sing that song, then you could be in the choir next week. But in between, we're going to talk about bugs. You know, I told you next summer is the cicada season. So anybody that's renting out the pavilion is going to have lovely sounds, the melodic cicadas in the background. Anybody ready to eat cicadas next year? John the Baptizer was an outdoorsy type. I love this rugged description of him in the reading. Camel's hair clothing, it's all the rage, you know. A leather belt, not purchased from a designer. And he kind of sounds like the Old Testament prophet Elijah. He's often compared to or even identified with Elijah. In 2 Kings 2:8, this is what Elijah is described as: a hairy man with a leather belt around his waist. It's possible that John was presenting himself as the new Elijah, the one that was there to begin the restoration of things. It's also possible that he lived the rugged life as a curiosity to get more people to come and investigate this strange wilderness man. He had a diet that's kind of like that old, relatively old, not so old TV show, The Fear Factor, or maybe Survivor. Who wants to see the guy that eats bugs and honey? All right, locusts and honey, and locusts are grasshoppers. So he ate grasshoppers, probably really big ones with the legs still moving. Anybody grossed out yet? The cicadas that I've eaten, and I did eat them in 2007, and again in 2020, and I have a recipe for preparing cicadas that I'll probably do again in 2024. It's different, though, than they were cooked. And cicadas are eaten worldwide. And I guess locusts are too. But John, I don't know exactly how he did it, but it appears as though he dipped locusts in wild honey. Wild locusts in honey. And all right, it's still ew, right? Would you go and see the guy who eats bugs and honey? People did. And while they were there to see perhaps a sideshow, they heard a message they couldn't forget, and here was the message: return to God, be baptized, be forgiven. Without the benefit of any priests for mediation. Oh my, let the trouble begin. Yes, yay! Except it was trouble for a lot of people, but a lot of people thought that it was good too, because John had another message. He said, "The one who is more powerful than I am is coming after me. I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals." In our reading today, it was the strap of his sandal, but you know, the part that holds the sandal on. So then people heard, wait, there's someone else coming? What's better than a message that invites folks to be forgiven without the benefit of the temple priests? And John said, "I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." What is the difference? What are you talking about? You're talking about someone you're not worthy to untie the sandals of, but what is this baptized with the Holy Spirit stuff? People wondered. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." Now that's pretty impressive. But what's significant? Is it the sky opening up? Is it a bird descending and landing on Jesus? Is it the voice from heaven saying to Jesus, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased"? I mean, all of those point to Jesus being the one, the anointed one. Anointed one just, meant someone who was anointed, and the kings of the Old Testament were anointed. David was anointed. Hezekiah was anointed. Saul was anointed. They were all the anointed one. But Jesus becomes more than that. It's like the capital T, anointed, the anointed one. Kind of like the Ohio State. I know they didn't do really well this year in football. It's a Michigan year. But you've seen all of the introductions for college football, and they come up, and I'm from the Ohio State. So much so that Ohio State tried to trademark the. It happened like a couple years ago. Do you know what I did in response? And nothing really happened with it, but I registered the domain the.com. And then I tried to make t-shirts that said the. Nobody bought them. It wasn't a great idea. And it only cost like $19 or something to just have a little fun. But the Ohio State, the anointed one, that's who Jesus was. He's the one who would continue what John was doing. The one who will change everything. The one that this outdoorsy type announced. John's theme of return to God, be baptized, be forgiven, it wasn't something brand new or even really that revolutionary. God's people had been messing up and then returning to God for as long as there had been people. But somewhere in the process, the returning to God had become something that only the educated and credentialed were able to facilitate. And John was offering it to the ones who wanted to see this sideshow in the wilderness, the people with no credentials, the uneducated. And Jesus then went and started preaching good news to the poor, to the outcast, to the neglected, the rejected, and the forgotten. And ministry like that is bound to get you in trouble with the ones who act as the gatekeepers to goodness. You know, the educated and credentialed of our day in the church, who are they? The ministers. We aren't any better or worse than anyone else. God does not hear our prayers louder. God doesn't look at us and say, "You're the only one who can do this," or something like that. And sure, we preach and we teach. We perform weddings, offer communion, like today. We perform baptisms. No baptism today, but we do recount the time that Jesus was baptized, so we could call it a baptism Sunday, right? But it isn't because we're the gatekeepers to God. As individuals, all of God's children can return to God. As communities of faith, all of God's children can return to God. Not in a, you have to get back to church way, but rather the church has to go out to the whole world. What would that look like? Of course we gather, but we gather to be equipped to go do the work of the church. We gather to be equipped to do the work of the church. Today, we gather and then we do some work here, but the work of the church is about sowing seeds of love in the world. What would it look like if we gathered every Sunday and we were revved up, then we went out and made a difference? That's what we do. That's what we can keep doing. And if we're not doing that, that's what we got to start doing. Because it's not really about getting folks to come to church. It isn't about being the gatekeepers who, when we feel like it, offer love to people in small doses. And it's not about calling out all the sins of the world. It's not about deciding whom God loves, except for knowing that that means everyone. Being the church, being a follower of Jesus, is about loving God and loving the whole world with the same passion. So that's what we have to learn about John. That's what we have to learn about Jesus. That's the message that is loud and clear today, just as it was on the day that Jesus was baptized. Let us pray. God, thank you for your inspiration, for equipping us to be the church in the world. Help us as we gather to be inspired. Help us as we gather to be equipped. Help us as we gather to get ready to go out and to share love wherever we go. Thank you for your blessings, O God. Thank you for our ability to share them. Amen.